To hear all the clips of the show like this and more, please sign up to our weekly Nolan newsletter at bbc.co.uk/Nolan.
It's a Nolan Free Nolan show. Stephen is off and it's Chris Buckler in instead. Our next debate, should cannabis be legalised? A survey has suggested that 52% of young people think it should be. That's from a survey by the Student Money Saver website, which questioned 1,000 people aged 18 to 30 about their use and attitude towards drugs and alcohol. So would legalising cannabis help? Or would it create more problems? 08459 555 678. I know that there are people who will have come into contact with cannabis. They'll have seen the impact sometimes of it. But there's a lot of people who are also very, very supportive of legalising it. Let's speak to the journalist Fionnuala Meredith and also the writer Angela Epstein. Fionnuala, if I come to you first, legalising cannabis, it's something that's talked about, but very often when the conversation is had, it doesn't talk about the impact that cannabis has, as well as the fact that simply people want it.
Yeah, well, it's a drug, Chris, of course, and all drugs have risks. But I think the best way to look at something like this is logically, scientifically, and in terms of the evidence. And the facts show that cannabis, in fact, is actually many times less deadly than alcohol, for example. And, like, that alcohol must be the most common drug in society today, well, apart from nicotine or something like that. But a study pretty recently, there's been lots of studies, of course, but there was a recent one that compared a wide range of drugs and, you know, using calculations based on known lethal doses of substances and the amount a typical person used. And they found that things like alcohol and nicotine and cocaine and heroin all fell into a category classed as high risk. But they found that cannabis came nowhere near, and the study author said the results confirmed the risk of cannabis may have been overestimated in the past. In contrast, the risk of alcohol, the most common drug, may have been commonly underestimated.
There is a danger, though, whenever you start to have an argument like this, where you start to go, listen, at the end of the day, we have things that are legal that are worse for you. The fact that they're worse for you does not make cannabis better for you in some kind of way. And the reality is if you talk about tobacco, for example, I mean, the truth is if cigarettes were a new product and they came onto the market now with what is known about them, do you really think we'd legalise them and say,
no,
yeah, let's sell them to everybody?
I don't. And of course, the whole thing is relative. And, you know, as I said at the top there, yep, cannabis is a drug. There are risks associated with it. But I think they've been way overblown. I think it's turned into a very emotional kind of debate where people have these ideas about what it might mean and how bad cannabis is for you, relatively speaking to other drugs. And I think we should maybe just try to get back to the facts. That's generally the way I like to approach things, in terms of evidence and facts rather than emotion and hype.
Okay, Angela, keep the emotion out of it. Why do you think it shouldn't be legalised?
Okay, well, obviously you can use statistics and pieces of research to substantiate any point of view if you want to. I mean, there are two things. I mean, let's set aside the moral relativism of the fact that is alcohol worse for you than cannabis, etc. I mean, there was one study carried out by an Oxford neuroscientist, so I'm quite happy with the results that she produced, that said it takes about 7,000 milligrams of alcohol to get that sort of mind-altering feeling of relaxation, whereas with cannabis it's just 0.3 milligrams and the effects last much longer. And what really worried me was a study of airline pilots which showed that cannabis was still influencing the brain up to 50 hours after a single joint was smoked. I don't know why pilots are smoking cannabis in the first place, but the upshot is it's staying in the system far longer. It's been shown to be a far greater menace on the road than even alcohol. And there's been new drink drug legislation brought in to beef up the statute because of that. So with all those practical situations, but let's take a longer view. And this is what concerns me about this debate. And this is why I think, in answer to your question, it should not be legalised. By legalising something, you normalise it. Now, cannabis is a drug. And what statute would be saying is it is okay to take a drug. And we know with all things, especially with kids, and, you know, lots of people out there listening will have teenagers and beyond. But once you get a kick from one thing and it doesn't work and it stops giving you the kind of high that you want, then you look for something else.
That has never been established in evidence, Angela.
I listened to you, so please allow me the courtesy of finishing. I didn't interrupt
you. You've spoken for quite some time.
I didn't interrupt you. So there's that for a start. And I have children myself, and it would be a great concern for me to think that cannabis would be legalised. And then let's look at the long-term effect. The long-term effect to the brain. and the way that it can undermine the mental health of users. I have done interviews with people whose children, coming from very middle-class families, we're not talking about where there's been some dysfunctional element, it's just been used as something very kind of socially acceptable, gone on to develop schizophrenia. It ruins and wrecks lives. That's cannabis in isolation, never mind looking at it as something which could be the gateway to more heavy drug use. And in fact, one final
point. I promise I will let you do another point. There's no issue. We're under big time pressure at the moment. But Fionnuala will just put a point to you. So Fionnuala, go ahead.
Yeah, I was hoping that it wouldn't sort of get really overblown and emotive. And I think already it has, you know, when we start talking about our own children. So, OK,
Hang on, Angela, you went mad when I interrupted. Who else
Angela,
is
Angela, stick to your own rules. Listen, I have teenage kids. And of course, I don't want to think of them rushing off and tickling their brains on dope. But equally, I'd like them to look at the facts and what evidence we do have. And sure, of course, we can see that, as like I keep saying, yeah, it's a drug. Yeah, there's risks. We know about the schizophrenia risk. I'm not saying there's no risks, but let's not blow it out of all proportion. And in terms of cannabis being a gateway drug, I think that's quite a common myth. That has never been established. Current research has only provided evidence of association, not causation.
But isn't it interesting that you say you are in favour of legalisation or decriminalisation of cannabis, yet you wouldn't want to see your children smoking it?
Yeah, I don't think there's a problem with that, because I'd like to think that they could exercise judgment for themselves as sensible adults or near adults.
So do you expect your children to drink?
Yes, I'd have no problem with that. Again,
part of the reason for that is because it is legal. It is not a criminal activity. Therefore, you can do it. There is a certain if something was decriminalised, it would certainly send a message from society, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but there's a lot of talk today about sending messages. I prefer to, as I say, rely on scientific fact, and that's how I've brought my children up as well, to look at evidence, not emotion, to weigh up what the benefits and risks are in any situation. And just to get back to what I was saying, because I think it's a really important one, this idea that cannabis is a gateway drug, there's no evidence that cannabis use actually causes later drug use. We only know that the two behaviours are linked. So let's just...
Well, I can contradict that evidence here to disprove your point, actually, because in Holland, the drug, which is now the drug capital of Europe, if you like, cannabis was decriminalised in 1976. And then between 88 and 1997, there was a 50% increase in heroin addiction, while the level of cocaine use by the Dutch, which is between 14 and 16-year-olds, remains the highest in Europe.
I think you said at the very start, Angela, that you can use statistics to prove or disprove almost anything.
Yes, that's true, but
the reality is that part of heroin usage will actually be the availability of heroin, and that will impact as well. So that might also have an impact on
Maybe so.
You can't disprove a causal link. And I personally, okay, you're absolutely right. You can't disprove, yes, we all want to educate our children. Yes, we want them to be sensible adults. I don't want to take any gambles on risk, not only with my children, but with the population at large. You know, young people are under pressure from all sorts of things. The brain is the most sensitive organ in the body. It exists with this, the kind of delicate balance of chemicals that exist within the body. Why would you want your children to imbibe a drug which can lead to memory loss?
I don't want them to.
And paranoia.
I don't want them to.
Okay.
I brought them up, I hope, to be able to make good choices for themselves.
Okay, but if the government is saying it's okay to take it, why, they can then turn around and say, well, Mum, it's legal.
0845 959 55 5678. Stay on the line, you two, because I want you to talk to some callers as well. Mike is in Carrickfergus. Mike, what do you have to say?
Well, I'm listening to the arguments, and really, I don't see the point in comparing cannabis with alcohol and things like that. We're not dealing with the problems. I mean, the problems that alcohol causes, for a start, are already there. We all know about them. Cannabis causes many, many problems as well. I used to smoke quite a lot of cannabis when I was young, and I did go on to take LSD, cocaine, speed, but not that much, because, to be honest, it wasn't as readily available as it is nowadays. But the point is, I have a lot of friends that would still take cannabis, and I mean, basically, they're sitting in their bedrooms at 40 and 50 years of age, still smoking cannabis, and they haven't moved on. It creates apathy, and it just means, you know, people who smoke it all the time and make it their way of life, it ruins them. It ruins their ideas.
Well, Mike,
I think they have great ideas, but they don't. And the reality is they're sitting there not doing anything about anything, wasting their lives away smoking this stuff.
Well, Mike,
it's any different than alcohol, because alcoholics do the same thing.
I was going to say, Mike, do you want to have a word with Gary? Because Gary's on the line and you do smoke cannabis.
Yes, I do indeed.
And what do you have to say to Mike there? He's basically saying you are people, and it's this kind of, I suppose, this caricature to some extent of what they call stoners, this idea that you sit in your bedroom, you do very little, and that cannabis just creates that apathy.
Well, I work nine and a half hours a day, 6 days a week. I smoke cannabis at nights. I've got a bad back. I suffer from insomnia, and it helps me. Cannabis was first found of medicinal use in China 4,000 years ago. And, you know, I mean, I take a drink too, but I'd prefer not to drink. I would rather go to a party with somebody smoking dope than go to a party with alcohol where there's nearly a good chance there's going to be a fight or an argument. I enjoy smoking it, and it helps me get on with my life. I'm in my 50s too, like that guy said, and I've tried all the drugs, but I've always just come back to cannabis.
Do you need it?
No, I don't need it. I'm not an addict. I'm a user, not an abuser.
Day, you see, that's the thing. People get that they like it, and it's available, and you can use it and all the rest of it. I have no problem with that. But if you're in a situation where it's not doing you any harm or doing your family any harm, or it's not, you know, because it's cheaper than drink, let's be honest. But the reality is, you said there you had a bad back and you went on to compare it to alcohol and all the rest. Well, yes, alcohol. I mean, people going into bars, going holding hands, and then they come out beating the head of each other. They don't do that with cannabis. We all know that. But at the same time, cannabis creates apathy. And why do you need to sit at home and get this relief from cannabis? It's an awful good feeling to be completely clean. And believe me, I know, because I wasn't for a long, long time.
Do we want to see a society where we have millions of young people who crawl out of bed and just think about the next joint, who are, as gentlemen just said, demotivated and not looking beyond the horizons of where they'll get their next fix from, and turning around to their parents or to anybody and saying, but it's okay because the government said it's okay, because the judicial system said it's okay. You know, that's a very, very hard argument to get past.
Angela and Fionnuala were fighting about the idea that cannabis is or isn't a gateway drug. What is striking about both you, Gary, as well as Mike, is that you both say you used cannabis and you went on to use other drugs. Do you think it's a gateway drug, Gary, as a user?
No, I personally don't. I think now if I was at a party and somebody said, do you want a line of coke? I would have went, years ago, I would have went, oh, certainly, I'll take a line. But at the end of the day, I would have been sitting smoking a couple of joints afterwards.
That's quite a statement, though, isn't it? Oh, I'll take a line. The drugs really have an impact on your health, on your well-being, on what you do, don't they?
No, not really. Not for me, because I would have a smoke at night. I wouldn't smoke, you know, during the day when I'm at work. I drive for a living. I've never had an accident. I know it might be in my system, but you know, it doesn't have the effect. It doesn't last. No,
like, I think it's really important to treat people like the adults they are. Angela's talking about some apocalyptic scenario where millions of young people aren't going to be able to get out of bed, and they turn to their mummy and say, but the government allows it. This is just facile talk. Let's treat people like the adults they are, and let's deal in evidence, not anecdote.
Let's go to another call. 0845 955 5678. Joe's on the line from Belfast. Hiya, Joe.
How you doing, Chris? How's it going? No, it's just caught the tail end of it there. The two girls talking. I have to agree with the latter girl there. The other girl is saying about it's a gateway drug, and I don't personally think it is. I mean, I've been smoking cannabis 20 years.
I hope you both take girl in the way that it's intended.
That's
okay. Yes, it's good.
Okay.
Well, yes.
Call me a girl.
There's people out there that do painkillers, there's drugs all over the place. What difference does it make whether somebody smokes a joint house?
It's one thing.
In their house, they're not outside, they're not causing trouble, they're not running the streets like half these idiots drinking.
Okay, Joe, let Angela put a point to you, because she's dying to.
All I was going to say is, and you know, and I don't like the way that we descend into insult by saying, oh, mummy, you know, the government said it's okay. We don't have to have that kind of facile comment.
No, I'm sorry, it is facile. That's the word I use, and it's a correct word.
It's because the point is, what you're doing is, you know, without making this personal, is you are somehow undermining the potential seriousness of this. I don't care if we're looking at anecdote rather than evidence in some areas of this debate. If you find one single young person with their face down in the gutter, off their head, who's been knocked down, who's been in a fight, who, for whatever reason...
That's completely wrong.
Angela, you're talking in very extreme, hyper...
Okay, hang on, wait. Let's just try and keep this one talking at a time. Fionnuala, we'll go to you and then to Joe.
I'm just saying that I think Angela, from the start of this debate, has been speaking in a very emotive way, in a very hyper-emotive way at
times. Hyper.
And yes, I think it has been facile and simplistic, because we're moving, the more we do that, the more we move away from the evidence. And okay, anecdote sometimes has a part to play, but I'm interested in scientific fact and evidence, and I think we should be basing all our decisions on that.
But you've denied all the evidence that I've put towards you, what the very Dutch government has said, the Dutch minister...
I could quote you other examples, Angela.
Okay,
Let me ask this.
What about just bombing all drugs, then?
You're bomb everything.
What difference does it make if drugs are legal or illegal? Because people are still going to do them.
Why not regulate it?
Why doesn't the government just regulate it?
As far as I know, the
government in England have their own cannabis factory, growing cannabis for certain things like rope, oils, plastics.
Let me ask you this, Joe, they can grow it for materials. Let me ask you this, though, okay? Because we're talking here, and there's been a trading of statistics and facts and all of that, and there's been a talk about we can't let emotion get into this argument. However, there may well be a family listening to this who have had somebody who has had bad experiences with drugs, and we all know that that can happen, whether it's cannabis, whether it's the so-called legal highs, whether it's whatever. And they will be saying, to leave emotion out of this just couldn't be more wrong, because the impact of drugs on people can be very serious. It can affect the rest of their life, and it can, in some cases, lead to death. I mean, in the case of cannabis, for example, I mean, there are people who have got into cars after smoking cannabis and they have crashed, and they believe that, oh, they're okay. That is something that they simply weren't, Joe. And that emotion's important, isn't it?
But if you're going to use that argument, well, then just ban all drugs then.
Exactly. That's the
if
logic of that
argument.
If you're going to
use that argument, ban them all.
You've got to say...
We're already here, but there's no point in bringing more in. I think that's the point. Cannabis is linked really strongly to schizophrenia, for example.
And alcohol's linked to a lot of things.
Are not
ecstasy's linked to a lot of things. Painkillers are linked to a lot of things.
Ecstasy is illegal. Painkillers are a prescribed drug. They are illegal whenever they're not
that
prescribed
people can
by
get
a doctor.
Addicted to. They
yeah,
can,
absolutely.
That can ruin people's lives.
Absolutely, and that's the whole point. That is illegal. What they are doing in cases of painkillers is they are prescribed by a doctor. There is not this open market.
What about the people that it's not ruining? Why can't people then go out and go to a bar and have a drink? And then why can't people then go and smoke in their own home?
I suppose that's about the wider message of what society feels is right to do. And again, in cases of alcohol, there is again this constant message coming from the government, coming from campaigns, saying don't abuse it. Because again, alcohol completely wrecked lives. And if you don't use it responsibly, then it is going to cause an impact on your life and potentially even cause your death. I mean, alcohol is a huge killer here.
What about
it's the old saying, everything in moderation.
Exactly, yeah, I believe that too. Yeah, and treat people like adults.
I don't go out at the weekend and get hammered. I mean, I work 6 days a week. If I have a wee joint at home at night time, that's my luxury. That's me chilling out after a hard day's work. I don't very rarely drink. So I'm not out causing any problems. I'm not causing the system any problem. I'm not causing my neighbours any problems.
Well, we talked about sort of concrete evidence. Susan Greenfield, who's a professor of pharmacology at Oxford University, and, you know, we keep hearing about evidence. I only want the science. I'm quite happy to vote with what she says, as somebody who has studied this extensively. And she talks about the fact that recent evidence has demonstrated that cannabis is addictive, and that that there are cannabis users that want to cut down but can't.
Well, that is an interesting point, Angela. So let's put that to Joe, because you're saying that you use cannabis 7 days a week. You say
No. I don't use it 7 days a week.
Well, sorry. Somebody else was on, so saying 7 days
a week. No. I work 6 days a week. But
how often would you use it?
Generally at the weekend.
At the weekend, and can I ask you two questions?
If I've had a hard, really hard day's work, and I'm really paid off, well then yes, I might have a wee one when I get home, but.
And generally
for the weekend, because I have my work to get up to the next morning and I don't really like getting up sort of hungover.
And do you worry about being caught with cannabis? Because, you know, your job could genuinely be affected if you were arrested.
I wouldn't do it in work. I wouldn't have it with me in work.
But if you were arrested outside of work, it could still have an impact on your employment.
No, the only way you can be arrested outside is if you have enough on you to be deemed that you're going to sort of... what is it? Deal it out. But if I'm walking through and the police stop and find a joint on me, they're not going to do me.
Okay, let's go to Robert, the taxi driver who's in the line. Robert, hiya.
Good morning, Christopher. I would like to say the human body is not geared up for persistent use of drugs. Common sense tells us all there is side effects when you take persistent use of drugs. Look at even the very drugs you might be prescribed by a medical practitioner, the side effects on them. So common sense tells us, you know, your body's a temple, and truthfully, honestly, it's up to everybody if you're over the legal age. If you want to abuse your temple, it's your own business.
Okay, well, I mean, you know, there's no doubt it has an impact, Fionnuala. I mean... You know,
yeah,
I suppose that's...
I don't deny it.
But I was going to say, I mean, you know, I talked about, you know, you've been saying keep the emotion out of it. And it is, though, interesting, as I mentioned before, that you don't want your children to smoke cannabis.
But therefore,
that message from society is important, even though...
Let me qualify that. Yeah, of course, it's not something I'm going to say, hey, kids, yeah, go out and get stoned. I mean, what kind of responsible mother would do that? Having said that, they're adults. One of them's an adult, one of them's nearly an adult. And, you know, I respect the choices that they might make, and I believe that those are their choices and that they've brought up to believe that everything in moderation is quite a good rule of life. So I think what I'm trying to say is I think we need to bring balance to this and not talk about people lying in the gutters and all the rest of it. Sure, any kind of, if you abuse any drug, that's where you could end up. But let's take that super heated kind of language out of it and just try and get back to the reality and weighing up that the evidence we have, sure, some of it's contradictory, and we've gone through a lot of that today, but, you know, let's just look at where we are and the evidence we have and base our decisions, political decisions, on that.
And legalising it then? What's wrong with just decriminalising? There's two different things there. You know?
Well, there are some people who feel that the law is already confused. Anyway, let's go to Barbara, who's on the line. Hiya, Barbara.
Hello.
What's your view on this?
Yes, well, I do think it should be decriminalised because, I mean, if people can... Well, alcohol is decriminalised, and yet the effect it has on society is absolutely dreadful, and we can all see that at the moment with all the binge drinking and everything else. So it's one thing to say bring up your children to understand, you know, what's good for them and what's bad for them, but the majority of people just don't seem to be doing that. I mean, I brought mine up to... And I explained about cannabis. I told them the truth, that it was less harmful than alcohol, but I said it could be extremely dangerous to your career, your future career, if you were caught with it. And as I said in one of my texts, in other countries, they're decriminalising it as much as possible because the drugs trade, I mean, look, we all know what's going on in Mexico and all the horrible violence. I mean, basically the drug dealers... They don't want it decriminalised. They want to still be able to deal in it.
Let's put that to Angela because, I mean, just finally, Angela, because, you know, this argument about decriminalisation, it is happening in other countries. There is a march across a number of the states in the USA, for example, of decriminalisation taking place. Do you feel you are losing the argument?
No, not at all. And I think if you start going down, with the greatest respect, you go down the line of, well, look what they're doing in other countries. Other countries have done all sorts of politically abhorrent things.
Yeah, but you look at what
worked. One second, I was asked the question. Because, you know, people do politically abhorrent things in other countries and they're popular, does that mean that we adopt them as well?
Very quickly, Fionnuala, you've 10 seconds. Fionnuala's got 10 seconds just to finish. Yeah, go ahead.
Look in Colorado, look what works. Their murder rates have tens of thousands of people find work in the state's cannabis market. It works there.
Okay, Fionnuala, Angela, thank you all very much indeed, and thanks to the callers as well. We are back from 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. Join us then. The phone lines will be open from then. 08459 555 678. We'll see you then. The biggest show in the country. The Steve